Today's daf is Brachas Daf Lamed Tes, and we are 9 lines from the top of Daf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, Neima Ketanoi. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shleima for Shlomo Ben Sarah Aliza. So the topic of the latter part of yesterday's daf was, what bracha do you make on cooked vegetables? Vegetables, the Mishnah says, you make a boire pri adama. Rabbi Yehuda says, you make a boire mine deshaim. The question is that only true for vegetables that are in their natural raw state? What happens if you cook them? What happens if they were nishtana al yidei ha'ar? What's the halacha then? So the Gemara brought, there was some drama, Rabbi Yochanan, different versions of what Rabbi Yochanan said, Rav Shmuel, Darish Rav Chizda, Darish Rav Nachman, and at the end of the day, it appeared that there was, at the very least, a machloikas, whether cooked vegetables, known in the Gemara as shlokas, you make a boiri pri adama just like you make on raw vegetables, or perhaps when the vegetables are cooked, the bracha gets downgraded, and rather than it be a boire pri adama, the bracha is shahakol niyabidvari. Says the Gemara, on that note, neima ketanoi, it would seem that this discussion on daf lamed ches on the beis is really a machlokes tanoim. Hanu trei talmidim dehavi yasvi kamei debar kaparo. There were two talmidim that were sitting in front of our kapar, hevi'u lefon of kruv, v'durmaskin upargiot. And they sat down to eat. There was cabbage, there was Dormaskin, which is a certain type of spinach, and there was pargio, some type of chicken. The kruv and the dormaskin, the vegetables, were cooked. Bar-Kapara turned to the Talmidim, and he told one of them to make a bracha, kofatzu beirach. So he got excited, and he made a bracha ala pargiot. He made a shahakol niya bidvari on the chicken. So his other friend that was sitting there started laughing. He said, this is what you do. You make a shahakol niya bidvari on the pargiot. So the Gemara says, Bar-Kapara observed this, and cause Bar Kapar, he got angry. And Omar, he clarified. He says, Chevra, I want you to know why I'm angry. I'm not upset at the Mavarech, although, as we'll see in a moment, Bar Kapar believed that he made a mistake. But that's not the person that I'm angry at. I'm upset at the Malaglig. Why? If your friend is acting as if he never ate meat in his life, meaning he's so excited to eat the Pargiot, that's why he's making a bracha on it. Which, by the way, from a practical standpoint, maybe he was making a bracha on because he just wanted to eat it so badly. But it's really more than that, because there is an idea that when it comes to Hilchas Brachos, there's a concept of making a bracha on the thing that's more chaviv to you. So as a result, if your friend is acting as if he never ate meat, never ate chicken before, ata, but you are maluk laktolav, is that a reason to laugh at him? Chazav Amar, then he continued and he said, lo yalam malaglig ani koyas. But he said, I'm not only upset at the malaglig, rather I'm upset at the one that made a bracha as well. He said, why? Because he made a mistake. So he should have asked me. And he said that, even if the Talmud felt that I'm not wise enough, I'm not worthy to ask a question of Bazikna Einkan, at the very least, I'm an older fellow. And as a result, he should have asked me. Now, if he's not a Chacham, why would you ask him just because he's a Zake? Because older people have life experience. I mean, that they have life experience, sometimes they could tell you a Maisa that they once saw 50 years ago, whatever. But the point is, Bar Kapara essentially said he was upset at both of them. Because he was upset at the Malagli. What are you laughing at your friend for? He made a mistake. He's excited. He had a piece of chicken in his life. It's not a reason to laugh at him. As far as the Mavarach, he was upset at him as well. Because he made a mistake. Okay, people make mistakes. But if you're in the presence of Bar Kapara, who's a Chacham, and if even not a Chacham, which of course he is, that was him being humble, but at the very least an older person, before you jump into something, kofatzu beirach, you should ask a shayla. It's actually interesting because we mentioned this recently, that Bar Kapara, the Gemara says in Masechtas Nedarim, daf nun amadeis, daf nun aleph amad aleph, was a batchin. Like the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan said, also ba'adam shi'imale schoi piv ba'ilam hazeh. You're not allowed to be too happy, or you're not allowed to smile too much, or laugh too much, whatever exactly that means. Ba'ilam hazeh. Shenema oz yimale schoik pinu, u'shoineinu rino. And the Gemara says, where his shlokish heard Rabbi Yochanan, his Rebbe say this, he listened to it to the T, melamit shaloi shina, he never ever was we've mentioned that the Ben Yoyada asked, what's the Chiddush? Of course, Rish Lakish was a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan. If Rabbi Yochanan said something, of course Rish Lakish was going to listen. So the Ben Yoyada says, the Chiddush is because Rish Lakish was a Batchin. He says he was naturally a Batchin. And for him to not laugh too much didn't come easy. And that's the Chiddush, that even though it was against his nature, he heard his Rebbe say something, and for the rest of his life, he was able to fight his nature. And says the Ben Yoyada, he was a Batchin like who? Like Bar Kapara. Bar Kapara was also a batchin. So Bar Kapara was a batchin, gishmak. But at the same time, Liglig, Olav Chaveira, when he saw his friend use his sense of humor to put down somebody else, Ligli Olav Chaveroi. So Bar Kapora got really upset. Because this Bar Kapora, who's always in for a geschmack, but at the same time, you're making fun of your friend, he got cussed, just the opposite. The Gemara says, as a postscript to this story, they both ended up dying within the year. Bottom line is, there seemed to have been some machloikis, says the Gemara. Right? Usually when the Gemara says, Neme Kitano, you expect to see Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Remei, Rabbi Yehuda, that's usually the direction that the Gemara is going in. Says the Gemara, it seems to be a machloikis tano. Who? These two Talmidim. The two Talmidim that didn't live out through the year, because they upset Bar Kapor. What was the machloikis? Should you make a bracha on the pargiot, like the Mavarech did, or should you have made a bracha on one of the vegetables, like the Malaglev held? Says the Gemara, what's the beer in the machloikis? The Mavarech, so the one that made a bracha on the chicken he held, shlokos, upargiot, shahakol, nebedvare. They're both shahakol. The vegetables are shahakol, and the chicken was shahak. Why would the vegetables be shahak? I thought vegetables by pri adama. Oh, because it was cooked. Because it was shlokos. So he holds like all the shitas on daf lamed ches amid beis that cooked vegetables and make a shahakol in bedvar. So being that they're both shahakol, so which one should you make a bracha on? Hilkach chavivad. If the one that's more chaviv. For him, clearly he acted as if he never ate meat in his life. That was the more chaviv. That's why he made the bracha on that. And malagli, some of the malagli must have helped shlokos by pri adama. And pargiot shahakol in bedvar. Hilkach pei radif. It makes more sense to make a bracha on the vegetable. Why? Because it's a more chashiv bracha. So why is the bracha more chashiv? Just to get this clear. The reason it's more chashiv is because it's more specific. Shakol Niyabedvari is very general. Bayer Pri Adama is more specific than Shakol Niyabedvari. Bayer Pri Eitz is even more specific than that. Bayer Pri Agofen is even more specific than that. Within the world of Mizoinos, yeah, Mizoinos, which is a general bracha, all Mizoinos. And then you have a Moitzi Lachem in Aretz, which is more specific than Bayer Mina Mizoinos. Where it gets interesting is what happens if you have a face-off between a Bayer Mina Mizoinos and a Bayer Pri Agofen. It's coming from two different places. Bayer Pri Agofen is more specific than the Bayer Pri Eitz, which is more specific than the Bayer Pri Adama. But what about Klape the Bayer Mina Mizoinos? It's on a different track. So if you have a Shaila between those two brachas, that's already a big discussion in the Paiskim. But the bottom line is, there's no question that there's a maila in a bracha that's more specific, so perhaps that's what that other Tana held, says the Gemara Loi. But it's not muchach. Even though you could say that, but you certainly don't have to say that. There's another way to understand what the two opinions here were. Maybe everybody holds that cooked vegetables are shahakol, just like the pargiot was shahakol. What then was the shayla? The mevarich held that if you have two foods in front of you, they're both the same bracha, you make a bracha on the thing that you like more. That he clearly liked the pargiot more, that's why he made a bracha on that. Mar Sava, the Malagleg held, Kruv Adif, the Kruv is the one that he should have made a bracha on. The reason is desire, because it sustains. And even though the pargiot also sustains, right, b'dieved, you can make a mezoinus, the Chai Adam says, on everything other than water and salt, because everything on some level is mezoinus. But Rashi quotes a Gemara later on Daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis, where the Gemara says that cabbage somehow sustains a person more than most foods. So being that the kruv, the cabbage, had more of an ability to sustain, so it's for that reason he held that that's the one you should make a bracha on first. So it's interesting, the Gemara says, Neimah Kitanoi. And who were the Tanoim? It's the Mevarech and the Malagli. These two Talmidim of Bar Kapor. What's even more interesting is, were they Tanoim? Could Bar Kapor's Talmidim have been Tanoim? So I'm not sure, but Bar Kapor, just a little back of the envelope arithmetic, was a Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi is often considered to be the last Tana. In fact, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi's Talmidim are Kemat, they were all Amoraim. Right, Rabbi Chiya was an Amoris. Even though Rabbi Chiya is tricky because sometimes Rabbi Chiya is a Tana, Rashi says in different places, but Rabbi Yochanan was an Amoira. Rav, who was a Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, Amru Rav Talmud Rabbeinu HaKadosh, the Rav often says. But even though Rav was a Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, he's a Tana who Upali. He's an Amoira, Be'etzem. He just has the ability to argue with a Tana. So you would think that the Talmidim of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi were Amoira, which would make Bar Kapora an Amoira, which would make these Talmidim certainly Amoirah. And they were clearly much younger than Bar Kapor, because they were called Talmidim, which suggests they were young. And Bar Kapor said, Chochma Enkan Ziknut. Enkan? At the very least, I'm an older person. So at the very least, based on that, you should have asked me, so what's the name of Ketanoi? Forget about the fact that it's the Mavarich and the Malaglig. It's not Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. But a name of Ketanoi would suggest that they're Tanam. Are they Tanam? So, something to look into. Says the Gemara, I was once by Rafuno. Amalon, he said the following halacha. Hanu gar gilidi de lifto. The heads of turnips. So a turnip is a vegetable. You make a bari pri adama. So he said like this: if you cut off the head of the turnip, parminu pri marabah. If you make big pieces, bari pri adama. I mean, if you cut off a big slice, you make the same bari pri adama that you would make on the entire turnip. Prima zuta. If, however, you dice it into small pieces, shakol mi abedvarim. This is a very big chiddush. So you didn't expose it to fire like you did in the cooked vegetables and the shlokos. You just diced it. And being that it was diced, so that's considered a shinoi. And just like we have a discussion about cooked vegetables, it gets downgraded because it was exposed to fire. So it goes from Vayipri Adama to Shahakol Nibidvari. You have a similar idea that if you would dice it so small, it could be Shahakol Nibidvari as well. Says the Gemara, V'chi Asan Be Rav Yehuda, but then Rav Zera said, this is what I heard by Rav Huna. Then I went to Rav Yehuda, and I heard Shir there, and Parakeitza Mevarach, and he said differently. Amalad, he said, Idi Vidi Vayipri Adama. It doesn't matter if you cut off a big piece, or even if you dice it really small, the halach is you always make a Vayipri Adama. Aye. L'chura, wasn't it changed? So he said, V'haide Parminu Tfei, Ki time. He says it's not considered a shinui l'ra. Meaning the reason you would make a shahakol nevedvare, the reason you would downgrade the racha is because there's a thought that the food was inherently downgraded. He said the fact that it was diced into small pieces isn't necessarily considered a downgrade. In fact, it's sweeter, or maybe it can use to sweeten things, and as a result, you would still make the same bracha of Bari Pri Adama. Amar Rav Ashi, Ki Avida Beir Rav Kahana, when I was by Rav Kahana, Amar Rav said like this, Tavshila de Silka. So there was a certain tavshil that was made of beets. Delom Afshi Ba Kimcha, if it doesn't have a lot of flour, Bari Pri Adama. Lifta the mafshiba kimcha. If, however, it has a lot of flour, tvei, meaning there's a lot of flour, boy rabina mezoinus. So, depending on how much flour this vegetable dish has, that would determine whether it's a boy rabina mezoinus or whether it's a boy rabina adamus. As the Gemara, b'hoda amar. But then Rav Ashi said, Rav Kana came around and he said, no, idi vidi boy rabina adamus. It's always a boy rabina adamus. Vaide shaliba kimcha. The reason there's kemach, meaning tvei, so much kemach, l'dvuki ba'alma avdila. So apparently there were these vegetable-based dishes that had flour in it. Some had more flour, some had less flour. So Rav Ashi said, I heard Rav Kahana say that the one that has less flour, you make a Bari Pri Adama. It's not so much flour. The flour is the tafel. The one that has a lot of flour, that's the ikker, then you make a Bari Pri Mezainis. Hadar Amar, then he came around. He said, you make a Adama on both. What do you mean? Even the one that has so much flour, isn't it the ikker? He says, yeah, it's the ikker, but it's only there l'dvuke ba'alma. It's there for texture. It's there for paste. It's not there to give taste necessarily. So if that's the case, the halach is even on that one, you would make a bari pri adama. Now at first glance, you read this Gemara, it doesn't stem with anything we've learned in this perek. Because what do you mean? If you have a mezoinos, even if you have a little bit of mezoinos, the halach is kol sheyesh boi mechamesh esaminim mevarchan ala bari min mezoinos. Kol sheyesh boi, meaning even if the chameshes haminim, the five types of grains are the miut. Even then you make a bari min mezoinos. Who said it? Rav and Shmuel both said it. And if you recall, even though the Gemara said tiyufta, the Rav and Shmuel tiyufta, but the Rajba said, even though Rav Haigoyin said not that way, but the Rajba said that's of course the halacha, that it was only a tiyufta on the other halacha, the Rav and Shmuel said, that was eerily similar to this one, not kol sheyesh boi mechameshes haminim, but kol shehu mechameshes haminim. But as it relates to kol sheyesh boi mechameshes haminim, anytime you have a little bit of chameshes haminim, the halacha is, you make a bari min mezoinos. What's the teretz? The Gemara gave a svara. The Gemara svara was that the dvuke ba'alma avdilo, meaning even though you have grain here, but the purpose of the grain is l'dvuke, and that's a svar in the world of Ketzah Mevarchim, and it's for that reason the halacha is you wouldn't make a bari min mezoinos even when it's thicker. Now we spoke out this svar already. We mentioned it when we learned Daf Lamed Zayin. It's the bottom Tosfos on Daf Lamed Vav on the base where Tosfos says that even though Rav and Shmuel said kol sheyesh ba, yeah, we pass like Rav and Shmuel even where it's a miyot, but Taisus Lasha was v'im ledevek ba'alma. If it's still ledevek, ainit sarich levarich boyer mina mezoinus. You don't have to make a boyer mina mezoinus. So we spoke out then. Rabbi Kivega asks Akasha on Taisus, ainit sarich levarich boyer mina mezoinus. You're not allowed to make a boyer mina mezoinus. It's not the bracha. And if you make a boyer mina mezoinus, it's like you make a boyer mina mezoinus on shkedim. It's going to be a bracha levatala. So we spoke out two aris from Dar Tzvi, one from his brother Reb Zev. Right. This is the Torah that we spoke out. But there's another Rabbi Kivega on that Taisus. There's two Rabbi Kivegas on that one line. It's actually three. But there's another. The Reb Kivega there. Reb Kivega says, "Vim ledevik ba'alma." He says, "Ayin lekaman daflam tesam and aleph." What does he mean? He means it's a mefurish gemara. Like Tosfos is saying it, like it's a chiddush. Right? It goes if you don't make it this far in Parakeitza Mevarchin to daflam tesam and aleph, you can go through life thinking that this is Tosfos chiddush. It's not Tosfos chiddush. It's really a mefurish gemara. It's a gemara on daflam tesam and aleph. We just saw it right here. Tosfos was really quoting a gemara, and Reb Kivega, who doesn't just say ayin sham, was probably like we do, was probably trying to make a point, and the point that Reb Kivega was trying to make was it's a mefurish gemara. It's a little bit of a Gemara, Tosfos is saying it like it's his chiddush, not Tosfos chiddush. It's the Gemara that we just learned. And in fact, in the Gemara, you see even a bigger chiddush, that even where it's the ikker, it's not kol sheyesh boy as a miyut, but even when it's the ikker, still you're going to have the same halacha. Amar Rav Chisda, Chisda said, Tavshul shel tarden. If you have a tavshul that's made of beets, yofel olev, it's very healthy. It's good for the heart. Potavle inayim, it's good for the eyes. The koshkein is certainly good l'bnei me'ayim for the intestines. Amar Abaya. Abaya said, not always. Only b'hudi yosef ha-beitafi. It's only if it cooked to the point that it's ovid, tuch tuch. Starts making a tuch tuch sound. This is a sound. So if it sits on the stovetop and it starts bubbling. So either way, if it bubbled to the point, what happens when it bubbles? When it's av tuch tuch, it softens. And now that it softens, that's when it's healthy. Omer Rapapa, Rapapa said, pshitali. And these next few lines are very important. Lehalacha. He said, it's posha to me. Maya de silka, kisilka. If you would take silka beets and you'd cook it in water, you'd make a soup from it. And then you would drink the soup, the water. So not the beets itself, you remove the beets. But the water that now has the tam of the silka in it. The halacha is, you'd make the same bracha you make on silka, which is a vegetable, which is a bayar pri adama. Umaya de lift, the same issue for turnips. Umaya de kula shalki ka kula shalki. And the truth, says Rapapa, is that this is the halacha for all vegetable soups. So if you take vegetables, you cook it in water, what we know as vegetable soup. The halacha is you drink the soup, just the liquid. Not the vegetables itself. You would make a bayre pri adama. Bayre rapapa, rapoyis, and mayi deshif samayi. What's the halacha regarding dill soup? So what happens if somebody boils dill in a liquid, and now the dill, the water has the taste of dill. So what's the difference? The difference is that people didn't eat dill. So dill was added as a spice. But being that it's not something that people really eat, so the Gemara saw it a little bit differently. Limtuke taima avdi. When people add dill to a recipe, are they adding it to contribute taste, which is, of course, the Pashup Shad? Maybe the reason people used to use it is when food smelled bad or it was spoiled, so this is a good way to clean up the mess. It doesn't smell bad anymore, right? You add a little bit of dill, so then it's going to be fine. And the Gemara doesn't explain what the Svara is, but there seems to be some Svara that if it's something that's used to give time, so then it's soup, will have the same bracha as the vegetable itself. If its whole purpose, its whole existence as on the menu is lavure zuama, so then it could be, its soup is going to be different. So what's the halacha? The Gemara says, toshva, hasheves, dill, mishenosna tam bikteiro, emba misham truma, ve'en metam etumas oichlin. It's another example where ketzim mevarchim crosses with the laws of truma. So if somebody has sheves of truma, so once, and you cook it now, you put it into a keteira. Once it gives off its flavor, there's no laws of truma related to the sheves. As if to say the sheves inherently is not subject to the laws of truma. As long as it's nice in time, it is. But once it gives off its taste, it's not anymore. Also, it's not a time of tumas leichlin. Shema mino, lemtuki time avdi lo shema mino. This is a raya to one side. Which side that it gives on? What's the raya? So Rashi says, balabatish. You don't have to go through the sugyas of truma or tumas leichlin. Hasheves mishenosna tam bekteir. Once it gives time, you see that the purpose of sheves is for it to give time. Now, why is this such a big discussion in the Rishonim? We're not going to go into it, but why is it such a big discussion? Because we just learned the Gemara, that yesterday's daf, that the Gemara said that the dvash that comes from tamarim, and really the juices that come from all fruit, talach izi, make a shahakol niya bedvari. What's the reason? Because it's zeya ba'alma. So all the Rishonim above, the Rashi, everybody asks, so what's the difference between orange juice, for example, and vegetable soup? Orange juice is not the orange, but it's juice that comes from the orange. Vegetable soup is not the vegetable, but it's water, it's a juice that has in it the tam of the vegetable. So you would think that there should be some consistency between these two halachas. Yeah, you have two completely different sugyas. You have one sugya, it was Marbar Avashi and Daf Lamed Chesem at Aleph, where he said it's a dover poshet that you make a shahakol niya bedvaray and dvash tmarim, etc., etc. And here you have a gemara, Amar Papa, pshitali, it's poshet to me that when it comes to vegetables, you make a vegetable soup, you make a bayar pri adam. This is a huge discussion in the Rishonim and the Achroinim and the contemporary poskim with regards to different juices. In Kamakoimai, says the Gemara, Amar Abchiyo, Barashi, Pas Tsunuma. So Rashi says, Pas Tsunuma. Tsunuma is a rock. So this is bread that's as hard as a rock. If it's in a bowl, Mevorchen Olea, Hamoitzi. The halacha is, you make a Hamoitzi. So again, it's a little unclear what these next few lines mean. Rashi is sasam. Taisa says I'm a chiddush l'gibshar in the Gemara. But it sounds like the chiddush over here is that even though the bread is hard as a rock, if you soak it, and by soaking it in water, it softens up and it starts crumbling into pieces. Talach is you make a moitzi lachem in ours. But the Gemara says, well, pligid Rabchi, it's not like Rabchi. Rabchi said, sarach shetich lebrachem apas. That when you make a moitzi lachem in ours, you're supposed to make it on a whole piece of bread, and you're supposed to break the bread as you're making the bracha. And if that's the case, how could you make a hamoitzi on a little crumb of bread? It's broken already. Meaning, you're supposed to break it as you're making the bracha. So if that's the case, it would be inconsistent with the halacha. Taisa has a problem with this understanding of the Gemara, which is, of course, the Pashtun Pshat in the Gemara from Gemara we saw earlier. The Gemara spoke about chavitza, for example. If it breaks to a point where it still has a tzuras hapas, even if it's less than a kezayis, so the Gemara said you still make a moitzi lachem in aretz. So you can tell me Rabchia argues with that as well. What, it's such a chiddush that you make a moitzi on a small piece of bread? Rabchia held you only make a moitzi on a gezinta piece of bread, on a full loaf. Other than that, you never make Kamaitzi. That's what the Gemara sounds like it's saying. Taisa says a whole different shot in the Gemara because it is kasha. But either way, the Gemara says like this. Rav Chiya said that you're supposed to make a hamoitzi as you're breaking the bread. Maskefla Rava. So Rava said, I don't really understand. Maishnatsum of the law. You're telling me that Rav Chiya holds, you wouldn't make a hamoitzi on pas sanuma. So this bread that's hard as a rock, it's soaking, it's now broken to pieces, you can't make a hamoitzi. Why? Mishum dechichalya bracha prusa kakalya. Because you're making a bracha on a prusa. And Rav Chiya said that you're supposed to make a bracha, that's the pliga de Rav Chiya, as you're breaking the bread. But his question was, al pas nami kiko gamra a prusa gamra. What's the difference? Rav Chiya says that as you're breaking the bread, you make the hamoitzi. At the end of the day, the bracha is going to be made after the bread was already broken. Assuming the two things happen simultaneously, so it sounds like it's you're making the bracha as you break Elma Rava. So Rava said like Rav Chiya, but a little different. Mevarech va'achak ach b'itzeya. Rava said that this idea of Rav Chiya of making a bracha as you break bread, really what you're supposed to do is you're first supposed to make a bracha, and then afterwards you're supposed to be b'itzeya. The point is the bracha has to be on the whole bread. Oh, if the bracha has to be on the whole bread, that would pose an issue with this pas sanuma, because here the bread was already broken. Avdoy avdik Rav Chiya, avdoy they used to do like Rav Chiya. Rabbanan avdik Rava. The Rabbanan used to do like Rava. Again, Rav Chiya made the bracha as he was breaking the bread. Rava made the bracha and then he broke the bread. Ravina said, I heard from my mother. She told me that Avuch, apparently Ravina never saw his father. So Ravina's mother told Ravina that you want to know what your father's meaning was? He was Avit to Rav Chiya. The Amr Rav Chiya tzarech shetichla brachim bapatz. Rabbanon avdi kirava vehilchisa kirava da'ama mevarech va'achakach boitzeya. Says the Gemara Vayta. Itmar vi lufneyem pesisin ushleimim. So somebody has two foods in front of him. So one of the things that we saw in Amud Aleph is that if a person sits down to eat a meal, and there's a whole bunch of foods, and you're going to be making a bunch of brachas, it's not a hefkevelt that you could just make any bracha you want. No, you have to think it through. You have to ketsa mevarchan ala peiros, you have to make sure you get the right bracha. You also have to know the order. The order matters. So you have to know which one, chavev adif, certain brachas are more chashev. The Gemara said maybe kruv had a milo over chicken because it sustains. So with that backdrop, another discussion. So heviu lefneim psisin ushleim. Somebody had in front of him a full loaf of bread, or think of a whole challah, shleimim, and pesisin, he had part of a challah. The chiddush is, the pesisin was larger than the shalev. So you had a small bulka, and then you had a large half a challah. So which one should you make the bracha? Amar Rav Huna said, mevarech al pesisin, you should make a bracha on the pesisin, and you should pater the shleimim with that, meaning the bigger challah, even though it's not a shalev, that's when you should make a bracha. Rav Yechon says, shleimim misra namuch. No, make the bracha on the shleimah. Avo prusa, says the Gemara, shalchitim, shleimim misayrim. What happens if the prusa was wheat bread, and the shleimah was barley bread? So chitim is more chashiv than sa'irim. We'll see more about that in the coming dafin. It's a mefurisha Gemara, divri akom, mevarech al prusa, then everybody would agree, you should make the bracha on the prusa. So it's a machlokes, the prusa, if it's larger than the shalim, make the bracha on the prusa, make the bracha on the shalim. The Gemara says, if the prusa is a more chashiv bread, then for sure you should make a bracha on the prusa. Poiter is a shleim, shal sayim. Amar Rabbi Yirmei bar Abba kitana. That really, this machlokes would simply be a machlokes tana. Which machlokes tana, again, mesechtes, trumas. This is a mishnah. In mesechtes, trumas, perik beis mishnei, tarmin batzel, katan shalim, avol loy chatzi batzel gadol. So the question is, a person's being mafresh truma. And there's an idea in truma, you're supposed to be mafresh minayafa. It's a hiddur in truma that you should be mafresh from your better fruits, your better vegetables. This person was being mafresh truma from onions. And he has two choices. He can take a small whole onion, Or you can take a large half an onion. Which one should you do? So the Tanna Kamma says, it's better to take the batzel cut in shalem rather than the chatzi batzel gadol. Yudaim Rabbi Yudah says, loiki el chatzi batzel gadol. It's better to take the chatzi batzel gadol. Says the Gemara, what's the machlokes? Oh, my lab al kamivli. Certainly sounds like this machlokes that we just mentioned the machlokes Rav Huna and Rabbi Yochanan, the master of a chashan gadol. Master of a shalem gadol. Machlokes is quantity better or no? Qualitatively, this is better because it's a whole. Maybe this is, the Gemara says, no. Could be everybody agrees that if there was a kohen that you would be mafresh truma that you were going to give it to, that you should take the chash. Maybe there's really no machlokes. Keep pligi the lack of kohen. Perhaps the machlokes was where there was no kohen. The Tanah we know to the Mishnah. So if someone's mafresh truma and there's no kohen, so then the Shulchan Aruch changes a little bit. Meaning ordinarily you'd be mafresh truma. You want to do it in the nicest, in the shenst, and the best oifen. So what should you do? You should take the yafa, take the nicest one. But if there's no kayin, the halach is that kol makom sheish kayin, tayin yafa. The kol makom sheein kayin. This is also a mishnah in Masechtes Truma. It's there in Perek Beis. If there's no kayin, tayin amiskayin. You should take the one that's going to last the longest. Because you're going to take a really, really nice onion, but this onion's going to spoil by the time you meet the kayin. So what are you accomplishing? So if the kayin's there, yeah, tayin yafa. That's common sense. But if the kohen's not there, then you should be toyrim amiskayim. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda argued. Rabbi Yehuda said, ain't toyrim elamin ayafa. You're always supposed to be toyrim and ayafa. So says the Gemara, maybe this shiloh over here was a case where the kohen wasn't there, and the machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim is the same exact machloikis as this machloikis, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. It's two machloikeses between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, and their Lashita Sayu. The Tanakhama held, you should be Torim, Batzel, Katan, Shalem. The case was where the Katan, Shalem was Miskayim. That was going to last longer. Makes sense. It's a whole onion. It's going to last longer. Once you cut it open, it's going to spoil quicker. So as a result, being that it was going to last longer, so he felt that's the one that you should do, because there was no Kayan here. But Rabbi Yehuda Lashita Sayu holds, he never Torim and Miskayim. You always tell him an ayafa. Even if there is no kayan, that's why he said, loiki al chatzi batzel gadol. But you want to know if there's a kayan there, everybody would hold chatzi batzel gadol because the more is better than a shal. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. The yori shemayim, yoytze yedei shneim. So going back to the discussion of what bracha you're supposed to make. Do you make a bracha on the challah that's bigger, even though it's cut? Or do you make a bracha on the kal that's smaller because it's the shalim? So Nachman Yitzchak said it was a Yoresh Shemayim. He used to be Yoytze Yedei Shneim. Who was this Yoresh Shemayim? Mani Mar Berei de Ravina. Mar Berei Ravina. Manich Prusa Betech HaShloim. He would take the Prusa, the cut up kal, he would put it underneath the whole kal, Ubaitzeya, and that's how he would make the bracha. Now, which one would he actually cut first, or which one would he actually eat first? So Rashi says that either both, he would take both together. Oy, Rashi says, "Menas shleima." He would take the shleima. Tosfos explains that by taking the shleima and the prusas underneath the shleima, looks like you're taking from the prusa also. So that was all included in the Yoresh Shemayim Yoytzim Bideshen. Tani Tanik Hamidu Rav Nachman Yitzchak Benioch Prusa Teich Shleima Ubeitzeyom Mavarch Amalei Mashmecha. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak told this Tana. He says, "What's your name?" Amalei Shalman. My name is Shalman. Amalei. So he told him, "Sholei Mata." Your name suggests Sholeim. Ushleima Mishnascha. Your teaching, your Torah is Sholeim. And the reason is just Santa Shalom Beinat Talmidim. So you played on his name Shalom because you made Shalom. Here we have a Machloikis, Rav Huna, Rav Yochanan. Do it this way, do it that way. You were Santa Shalom Beinat Talmidim. Now this is not just Beinat Talmidim. And Amar Aleph, it was two Talmidim of Bar Kapara, which the Gemara called Tanam. This is Rav Huna, Rav Yochanan. Says the Gemara, Papa, Akol Meidim Pesach, Shemenich, Prusa Betech Shalom. Even though we have a Shail over here, how are you supposed to break bread? You have two Chalas. Should you be Beitzeya from the, make the Broch on the Shalom, or should you make it on the Prusa? Yoresh Shemayim is Yoytzei Deshneim. Otherwise, there's no idea of being Yoytzei Deshneim. But the Gemara says that when it comes to Leil Pesach, everybody agrees that there should be a Sholem and there should be a Prusa. And only afterwards you should be Beitzeya. My timer. Why does everybody hold? Meaning, you should go out of your way to make sure you have a Prusa Leil Pesach because Lechem Oini Ksev. It says Lechem Oini. And the Oni eats the, and that's why we do Yachatz, we break the bread to be Mekayim, this Indian of Lechem Oini. Amar Rav Asher, Chazino Leil Rav Kahana, Denoketarti, Ubotza Chodo. I saw, said Rav Asher, Rav Kahana, on Shabbos, that he took two chalas, Ubotza Chodo. And he, I skipped the line. Amr Ababa, Ubishabes Chayev Adam Lipsoya Al Shteki Kars. Even though we have a discussion over here about Prus and Shlema, but this is all with regards to during the week, Pesach. But on Shabbos, everybody agrees that when you make the bracha, you have to have two. He keeps me in check. You have to have two kikaris. My timer. What's the reason? Lechem Mishnah Ksev, because it says Lechem Mishnah. We'll see what that means in a minute. And because it says Lecha Mishnah, everybody knows the halacha. So it's for that reason you have to have two kikars. I'm Rav Ashi. So what are you supposed to do with Lecha Mishnah? You have two challahs, Friday night, Shabbos day, preferably Shalosh Shudas as well. So you're sitting down now with your Lecha Mishnah. So how do you exactly break the bread? Amar Rav Ashi, Chazino later Rav Kahana, I'll tell you what I saw Rav Kahana do. The Nakatarti, he would hold the two challahs, Ubatza Chada, and then he would cut one of them. Rav Zeira, have a Batza Akulashe Rusa. Rav Zeira, he used to cut, says Rashi, exactly the way Rav Kahana did, meaning he would hold both challahs and he would break one of them. However, when he broke the challah, he would make sure he broke a prusa gedoyla. I'm reading Rashi, enough that he would have for the entire Shabbos. Only Rabbeinu the Rav Ashi. Rabbeinu told Rav Ashi, I don't like this minik. He goes, you look like a Rav Sunusa, like you're very hungry. Right? What? You need such a huge piece of challah. It's not fine. It doesn't seem appropriate. Amalei, so he told him back, I don't think it's a problem. Because given the chol yoima, like ka'avet hachi, being that I don't do this every day, but in the ka'avet, I'm only doing it on Shabbos, like mischazik Rav Sunusa, I don't think this is really an idea of Rav Sunusa. Rami, Rav Asik, have a misrami lurifta de ruva, if they ever had bread that was used, or they had a challah that was used for an Erev, Rashi says a ruvi chatzeris, but if they ever had a challah that was used for an Erev, Mavarchan, Allah, Hamaytzi Lachem in Aretz. They would use that for the Shabbos Suda to make the Hamaytzi Lachem in Aretz. Why? Amri, they said, Hoyo vis avid behu mitzvah chada, navid be mitzvah achriti. Being that it was used for one mitzvah, there's an idea to use it for another mitzvah. Exhale. So just to speak out, two ha'aras on today's daf, so there's a lot to pick and choose from, we'll speak out two ha'aras related to Lechem Mishnah, the Ein Beis Medrash B'lei Chiddush. The first are is as follows. The Gemara says that even though there's a discussion of Prusa and Shlema, etc., etc., Amar Abba, B'Shabbos Chayiv Adam L'Vtzoy Al Shteki Koros. Everybody agrees that on Shabbos, when you sit down to eat the Shabbos Suda, the Koros of the Shabbos Oynig, you have to make sure that you have two breads. My timer, what's the reason? Because Lechem Mishnah Ksiv. It says in the Torah Lechem Mishnah. Where does it say Lechem Mishnah? In Parshas B'Shalach, last week's Parsha, in the Parsha Saman. The Pasuk says that every morning the Yidden woke up and there was mud. It was Friday. It was Erev Shabbos Kodesh. They went to take them on and loktu lechem mishnah. Says Rashi, matzu kiflayim. There was a double portion of man. Shnei ha'omer le'echad. It wasn't an omer le'echad. The sheer man was an omer. It wasn't an omer le'echad, but rather it was a lechem mishnah. It was shnei ha'omer le'echad. They went running to Moshe. What's going on over here? Why is there a double portion? Moshe told him, "Hu asher dibar Hashem." This is what Hashem meant when he said, Shabbos. Remember I told you about Shabbos? This is what it means. Tomorrow it's Shabbos. Tomorrow there's no... You can't go out into the field tomorrow and collect mon. And as a result, being that tomorrow you're not going to be able to collect mon, today we have to have a double portion. Regardless. On Erev Shabbos Kodesh, when the Yidden were in the midbar for 40 years, and they lived off the mon, there was a double portion of man that fell. The Torah describes it as a lechem mishnah. It's for that reason we, till today, when we eat our Shabbos Suda, on Shabbos we eat a double portion. It's a zecher to the man, and it's a zecher to the lechem mishnah, which was a se'if katan, it was a detail within the world of the man. In fact, it's mevura in the Rishonim that this isn't just a zecher for the man, but it's a zecher for the nes of the man. The Ram in Perek Kol Kisvei, in the 16th Perek of Masechta Shabbos, brings from Rabbeinu Tam that Noshim are obligated to eat three sudas on Shabbos, and Noshim are obligated in Lechem Mishnah. Says the Ram, really, I'm saying a Chiddush. And the reason it's a Chiddush is because you would think that Lechem Mishnah is a mitzvah saseh shazman gerom, something they only have to do on Shabbos. And we know women are potter from all mitzvah saseh shazman gerom. But the Ram says, Shomati, I heard from Rabbeinu Tam. The Rabbeinu Tam said that even though Lechem Mishnah is a mitzvah saseh shazman gerom, still women are obligated. You know why? Sha'afin hoya ba'isanes. Just like Rabbi Shua ben Levi said that Noshim achayvin dal koises, and Noshim achayvin mikru megillah, and Erchanukah, why? Sha'afin hoya ba'isanes. So Rabbeinu Tam said that afin hoya ba'isanes, which nest? The nest of the mon? And it's for that reason women are, and it's for that reason that women are going to be chayv. The Ram himself says, I don't think you have to come on to Rabbeinu Tam's svara. He said, it's even more poshut why Noshim would be chayv in Lechem Mishnah. Because we know women are chayv in Kiddush Hayoy. Why? Because it says Zocher Siyem HaShabbos HaKachoy, and it says Shomer Siyem HaShabbos HaKachoy. The Iskich Schirah L'Shmirah. And just like women are chayv in Shomer, what does Shomer mean? The Loisa says of Shabbos. So to the chayiv and zocher, the chayiv and das says of Shabbos. So it means women are chayiv and all das says of Shabbos. If the chayiv and all das says of Shabbos, even though it's a mitzvah says as man geromo. So just like the Gemara said, weird. Brachas tafchav from a base. Then noshem are chayiv and kiddush ayoyim. Why? Because the iskish schir lishmira. So women are going to be chayiv in all the mitzvahs as says of Shabbos. You don't have to come on. Ta'afin hoy bar yisanes. What did Rebbeinu Tam hold? Rebbeinu Tam held that it's true the Gemara says iskish schir lishmira. But that's all with regards to the mitzvah that's learned from the pasuk of zocher zeh v'shabbos lakachshay. The mitzvah of Kiddush. But who said that as it relates to all the other mitzvahs asays of Shabbos, that they would be included in that? In fact, this is Rabbi Kivega's Chakira. It's Rabbi Kivega in the beginning of Perek Pame Behema in his Ha'oris on Mishnayos. This is Raid we've spoken about a lot over the years. That's not Raid we're going to speak about this morning. But as it relates to this morning, two Ha'oris. The first Ha'or is, so again, Lecha Mishno, why? It's a Zecher to the Nes of the Mon. In fact, there's an idea of Afein Hoy Ba'isanes as it relates to Lecha Mishno. But the Gemara brought two hanhogos, two meiser ravs, not so much halacha, but two hanhogos of gedolim, of tzaddikim, of how they used to observe the mitzvah of Lecha Mishno. Amar Rav Ashi, the first one was Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi said, Chazina le Rav Kahana. I was once by Rav Kahana's tish, and I saw him bring out Lecha Mishno, and this is what he did. He was nakatarki, he brought two breads, Lecha Mishno, but when it came time to cut the bread, it was only batza chada. He only cut one of the breads. Reb Zeira, then he said, have a batza kula sherusa. He did it differently. He used to take two breads, he would cut one, but the one that he cut was a prusa gedayla, so much that it should be there for the whole. Ravina didn't like what Reb Zeira did, and the Gemara clarified what Reb Zeira did. In other words, Reb Ashi was reporting two hanhagers of tzaddikim. The first was Reb Kahana, the other was Reb Zeira. They both seem to have start with two breads. You have to. That's the halacha of Lecha Mishnah. They both cut one. The question is, how much of that one did they cut? How much of the one did they cut? Reb Kahana's minig was, he cut a piece of bread. However much he wanted to eat, that's how much he cut. Reb Zeira had an interesting minig, havi batza akula sheirusa, enough for the entire suda. The point is, he would cut a prusa gedayla. Now the truth is, our Gemara is a little unclear as to why it was that Rav Kahana, and Rav Zeira as well, only cut one of the two breads. This Gemara is almost verbatim, also Gemara Masechta Shabbos, Tav Kuf Yitzayin Obdeis, and over there the Gemara adds a little bit of language. There the Gemara says, Amar Rav Ashi, Chazina Leid Rav Kahana, Danok Atarkti Yubat Zachada. Amar, he explained it. His explanation was, Loktu, Ksiv. When we take Lecha Mishnah, it's a zecha to the nes of the Lecha Mishnah. It's a zecha to the nes. What was the miracle? Lock to Lecha Mishnah. Bishas Lakita, it has to be a Lecha Mishnah. So the way you satisfy the obligation of Lecha Mishnah is by having two on the table. Pick up two, or maybe have two sitting in front of you when you start your meal. But when it comes time to breaking the bread, you don't have to break two. Lock to Ksiv. That's where Rav Kahana held, that's where Rav Zeira held. The two minhagim were, do you cut off a small slice of bread, or do you cut a larger slice of bread? Ad kan shitas Rashi in the sugya. But there's another shita. The other shita is the Rashba. The Rashba says that I think that the two minhagim that the Gemara quoted, Rav Ashi's minig or Rav Zeira's minig, were two completely disparate minhagim. According to Rashi, they did the same thing. Lok to Ksiv, they started with two, they cut one. The question is, do you cut a small piece or do you cut enough for the entire meal? Says the Rashba, I think the Reb Zeira did was, Reb Zeira didn't just cut one of the challahs. Reb Zeira actually cut both of the challahs. That's what Reb Zeira did. Reb Zeira was batza akula sheirusa, not one piece for the entire meal, but he cut all the breads that he was going to use during the meal. So if he started off with two breads, which is what he has to do, he would cut both breads. In fact, the Rashba says if he had five challahs on the table, he would have cut all the challahs. Akula sheirusa. All the challahs that were going to be used for the suda, that's what he cut when he made his amoytzi lechem in haaretz. But the point that says the Rashba, I think that Rav Kahana's minig and Rav Zeira's minig were fundamentally different. So whereas Rav Kahana just cut one piece of bread from one of the challahs, Rav Zeira did not that way. And if that's the case, says the Rashba, what's the machloikis? Rav Zeira was arguing with the whole drush of luck to ksiv. Rav Kahana felt you only cut one of the breads. Luck to ksiv, the Gemara says in Mefurish. What did Rav Zeira hold? He wasn't impressed by that diuk of luck to ksiv. He felt, no, if there's a din lacha mishnah, that means it's not enough to have two challahs, you have to cut both challahs. So that is the din of lacha mishnah. I mean, does lacha mishnah mean you have to have two challahs? Or does lacha mishnah mean you have to cut two challahs? That was the machlokes according to the Rashba. So bottom line, what Rav Kahana did, there's no argument. Rav Ashi was by Rav Kahana's Shabbos meal. He saw what Rav Kahana did. There's no discussion about that. The machlokes is Rashi and the Rashba, what Rav Zera did. Rav Zera was batzal kula sheiros. According to Rashi, he cut from one of the challahs. He agreed principally with Rav Kahana that lokduk siv. What did he do different? He just cut a huge piece. According to the Rashba, what Rav Zera did was fundamentally different than what Rav Kahana did, and it's because he understood Lecha Mishnah fundamentally differently. It's not just Lok Tuksiv, but it actually has to be that way. Already, B'shas, you make the bracha, you have to make sure you Beitzeya from both of the Chal. So what's the Halacha L'maisa? The Shulchan Aruch and Hilcha Shabbos in Simin Reish Ayin Dalitz of Katan Aleph says as follows, Beitzeya al Shteki Koros. You have to make sure, when you make the bracha, you have two challahs. You have to have two challahs in your hand, and then you cut the bottom one. Says the Ramah, v'dafka b'leil Shabbos, this is only true Friday night. Avol b'yoma Shabbos, Shabbos day, oy b'leil yontif, or yontif at night, b'yitzim ala yoyna, then you're supposed to break the upper one. V'atam hu al derech ha-kabbalah. This is all al derech ha-kabbalah. So the Ramah quotes a little kabbalah. Halacha beis, miftzaya b'shabbos prusa g'dayla, there's a mitzvah on Shabbos to cut a prusa g'dayla, shetaspik loy l'chal asuda. Bottom line is, it's very, very clear. The Shulchan Aruch paskins like Rashi's understanding in the Gemara, that everybody agreed that you're supposed to only cut one. In fact, he brings Reb Zeira's hanhaga, his chumrah, to cut a huge piece, to cut a prusa gedayla. Reb Zeira have a batza akula sheirusa, but the Shulchan Aruch very, very clearly paskins like Rashi Shita. The Vilna Goyen, as Bir Agra argues, he says, I am Magan Avram. V'ha'ikir k'meisha kasa marshal v'shlo lachtoich shteyem. The ikr is not like the Shulchan Aruch says. They're only supposed to cut one of the challahs. Brad, the ikr is you're supposed to cut both of the challahs. Kepirish ha-Rashba. Like the Rashba learns in the sugyas. The Rav Haigayin also learned that way. And where did they say it? In Rav Zera's pshat of Akula Sheirusa. And they understood Akula Sheirusa means all the challahs. The Lepirish Rashi, Koshamoid. Because according to Rashi, says the Vilagayin. Right, every word. Koshamoid. It bothers me a lot. My Mechzik Rav Sunusa. Why was it Mechzik Rav Sunusa? According to the Rashba, I understand there's 10 challahs sitting around, you start chopping up all the challahs, say you're Mechzik Rav Sunusa, but according to Rashi, you cut a bigger piece, there's a lot of people sitting there, you're going to use it for the whole Suda. I don't hear it so much. Either way, the Vilna Goyen, like he often does, argues with the Shulchan Aruch. He says that even though the Shulchan Aruch says that you're supposed to cut one of the challahs, I hold you're supposed to cut both of the challahs. Why? Because I think the Ikub Shan of the Sugi is like the Rashba, not just there. If the Ikub Shan is like the Rashba, it's okay, even in the Rashba, it's a machloikis. It's a machloikis with you, Rav Kahana, Rav Zeir. And clearly, the Vilna Goyen was either Paschal like Rav Zeir or for sure the Katchila like Rav Zeir. Bottom line is, it seems to be a Machoik and Shulchan Aruch and the Vilna Goyen, whether he's supposed to cut both Chalas or not. Now, this idea of the Vilna Goyen, his psak that he brings in Bir Agra is brought down in the Maaser Rav as well. So the Maaser Rav is a collection of different hanhogos that the Vilna Goyen observed. Ois kuf chav gimel ubeitzei al shtei chalish shleimois. When the Vilna Goyen sat down and he ate a Shabbos meal, he used to cut two chalish shleimois. The hainu, what does that mean? Choytech shteim beyachad. He would cut through both of them at the same time. V'chein kol suda, v'chein biyontiv, kedas ha-rashbazal. And he would do it like the Rashba. Says the Maaser Rav, nimtza l'chol ha-shabbos kuloi shisha chalish. Based on that, it comes out that between the three meals, you have two chalish shleimois by each meal. You cut the challahs in half, you end up with six challahs between the two meals. Umechavin al pi hazoyar, and he had in mind also the zoyar. Upam achas hayu menachem kama challahs ubatz haskul. So the Maaser Rav essentially brings this bir hagra, but it just adds one wrinkle. What is that? Umechavin al pi hazoyar. So what's the zoyar? And the truth is, it's not just the zoyar; it's also a tikkun zoyar and a raya de mehemno, all above my pay grade. But apparently, al pi kavala, there's an idea. We know that the shulchan and the beis hamikdash had yud beis chalos, and the zoyar kodesh says that every single yid has to have by his Shabbos suda, or he has to have a chelik in the yud beis chalos. In fact, the Shari Tshuva brings that the Arizal used to have Yud Beis Chalas. Certain Rebbes, they have Yud Beis Chalas by their Shabbos dish. Why? Because it's a Zohar HaKadosh. Zohar HaKadosh says Yud Beis Chalas, and the Arizal understood the Zohar literally that every year they're supposed to have Yud Beis Chalas by his Suda. Says the Maaser Rav that the Vilna Goyen held that there is another Raya, another Sinif to his Psak, like the Rashba, is the idea of Yud Beis Chalas. What does that mean? What does that have to do with Yud Beis Chalas? So it's very simple. Because you have three meals, and at each meal, you have two chalas. Each one is a shalom. So 3 times 2 is 6. If you cut through both of them in half, you can end up with 12. And the Goyin held that that's what the Zohar meant when it said Yud Beis Chalas. It was a riot to the Rashba. And they bring on the side over here of the Maisera, the Talmidei Hagra all said that they heard from the Vilna Goyin. That the Vilna Goyin said that I know that Rizal didn't understand Yud Beis Chalas the way I understand Yud Beis Chalas. He held that you're supposed to sit down, not with two challahs like the Gemara we just learned, Brachas Lama Tesla Mabez, which is also Gemara Shabbos Kuf Yitzayin Mabez, but rather you're supposed to sit down with Yud Beis Challahs. And the guy said that's not what it means. What it means is you sit down with two challahs like the Gemara says, but two challahs by three meals, you chop them into three times two, you end up with the Yud Beis Chalas. And the Goyin said, it has to be, I'm right. He says, because I know I've seen in Svarim that very often people like to make a machloikis between the Nigla and the Nister. And the Goyin said, Vashenira, be'ezem mokim kichalukim. I'm quoting from someone who's saying what he heard b'shem de gras. I'm not quoting the Vilna Goyin. Vashenira, be'ezem mokim kichalukim, hu machmai she'in mevinim perisho amiti b'talmud ha'azayah. It comes from either a lack of understanding in the Nigla or a lack of an understanding in the Nistar. I don't know which one, but it's one or the other. And the Graz Shita, his Mahalach, the Lashitasa in the Vilna Gaya, when it came to Nistar, was he always tried reconciling the Nistar together with the Nigla. So he said, according to the Arizal, you have a stira between two Gemaras and Shas, and a Zohar. The Gemara says in two places that you're supposed to have two chalas. The Zohar says you're supposed to have 12 chalas. So it's a head-on stira. Why would you do that? The way I'm learning, there is no stira. In fact, the way I'm learning, you know what you have? You have a raya to a rajba. That's what you have. So whereas the Arizal came from the literal understanding, and he saw in the Zohar, Yud Beis Chalas, the guy saw the Rashba in the Zohar. That's what he saw. He mamish saw the Rashba. He said, this is a riot to the Rashba. This is a riot. They're not supposed to cut one challah. They're supposed to cut both challahs, which was Reb Zeira's minik. That's what Reb Zeira did when he fitish. He had Yid Beis Challahs, Reb Zeira. Where do you have his Yid Beis Challahs? The Rashba. That's exactly what he had. The bottom line is this is what goes down. As Tumen, Hagam, and Klal Yisrael, Shulchan Aruch, Paskins, clearly, Loktu, you start with two challahs, you cut one. There's a heeder to cut one big, nice, gizinta piece of challah, but at the end of the day, only cut one. The gra argues in the bir agra. It's brought down in the Maiseraf. What would be the reason to argue? So we have two reasons to argue. Number one, it comes down to pshat in the sugya itself, working through the sugya, how to understand Reb Zeira's Kula Sheirusa. Like Rashi, it's a prusa gedoyla, but you only cut one challah. Or like the Rashba, you cut all the challahs, or at the very least, both of the challahs. Additionally, you have the Zohar. The Zohar talks about the idea of Yud Beis Chalas and the Gra's understanding of what exactly Yud Beis Chalas are. This is the first aura. The second aura is that the Binyan Shloima, Rav Shloima HaKoyim Mivilna, in his Sefer Binyan Shloima brings a kasha that he heard from his brother. So we just had his brother recently. We had his brother's son recently. Rav Tzal HaKoyim Mivilna, who heard a kasha in the name of Agoyin Amiti, Shalshelas Ayuchsin, Harab Yecheskel Segel Landau Zatzal, Shahoyer Raivin, also known as the Noida Behuda. So the Binyan Shloima says that I heard a kasha from my brother, who heard a kasha from the Noida Behuda. His Oyre Betema Gedoyla, he asked a kasha, and he was so bothered by the kasha that he was bothered. How come no one ever asked this kasha? So a little bit of drama. But the point is like this: the Noida Behuda asks that Shabbos, we have Lecha Mishnah. Why do we have Lecha Mishnah on Shabbos? It's a zecha to the man. The man, Lachdu Lecha Mishnah. There's an idea of Nes, remembering the Nes. That's why even women are chayiv, Sha'afein Hoya Boyisah Nes. Okay, why did we have to have Lecha Mishnah? Vayiba Yom HaShishi. Because on Shabbos, the man couldn't fall. Because collecting the man on Shabbos would have been problematic. If that's the case, says the Noida Behuda, it's Pashat, the man didn't fall on Yom Tov either. Because just like you can't collect the mon on Shabbos, you also couldn't collect the mon on Yontif. So what happened then if Yontif fell out on a Friday, Erev Shabbos? Or if Yontif will fall out on a Sunday? So if Yontif falls out on Friday, the mon couldn't fall on Friday because it was Yontif. It couldn't fall on Shabbos, never fell on Shabbos. When then did the mon fall? On Thursday. How much mon had to fall on Thursday? Three challahs. You had to have three omers. So Rav Noida Behuda says, if that's the case, I think that when Yontif falls out before Shabbos, on a three-day Yontif, maybe left out four challahs. But if Yontif falls out before Shabbos, Noida Behuda says you should have to sit down with three challahs. Right? What's the math? Yid Beis Challahs. You have to do the math. But the point is, you have to sit down with three challahs, not with two. And he says, I never saw any of the poskim. I never saw anybody should say this. No one asks this kasha. I'm skipping to the end of the question. Yehudas asked this kasha, and he didn't say a teretz. And he says, my brother also, who was a big goyin, big time kasha. So the Binyan Shloima, it's in Chelek Aleph Simen Yotes, brings from his brother Rabbi Tzal, who heard a kasha from the Noida Yehuda. Nobody had a teretz to this kasha. Why is it that if Yontah falls out on a Friday, if it falls out on a Sunday, we don't take three chalas instead of Lecha Mishnah? You should have to have three chalas, because Lechura, the Mon didn't fall on Shabbos, it didn't fall on Yontif. So if that's the case, Zeichel Neis, that's what we should do. So it says the Rav Shloima Koyim Vilna, that being that nobody says a teretz, I'm going to have to say a teretz. But before I say my teretz, I'm going to be makdim four kashas, and then he has a 20-page teretz. So obviously we're not going to go through the teretz, but I'll just tell you one ha'ara, and that is that the premise, the hanocha of the kasha of the Noid of Yehuda is that just like the Mon didn't fall on Shabbos, the Mon didn't fall on Yontif either. The truth is, he doesn't bring this, but obviously the Ge'ine Yoylam knew this. This, whether or not the Mon fell on Yontif or not, is a discussion in a Tosfos. And if it's not a favor from a Tosfos, it's a Tosfos on Daf Beis of a Masechta. Masechta is Beya. So this is prime real estate. Beya, Daf Beis on a Beis. There's a long Tosfos where Tosfos discusses, did the Mon fall on Yontif or did it not fall on Yontif? Tosfos has a raya it did. Tosfos has a raya that it didn't. And then Tosfos says at the end, V'yesh loymar, the Midrashim Chalukin. You have to say that there's a stira in Midrashim. I mean, Tosfos has raya from Brises. So Tosfos says it must be that Midrashim Chalukim. In other words, there's a stira. Did the Mon fall on Yontif or did it not fall on Yontif? Seems to be a steer. Obviously, maybe this kasha was based on the sheet that holds that the Mon didn't fall on Yontif. But the question is, what's the shaila even? What would be the shaila? Did the Mon fall on Yontif or not? So really, in order to understand it, you'd have to take one step backwards. Why didn't the Mon fall on Shabbos? So it didn't fall on Shabbos because of Malacha. What was the Malacha? Had the Yidden gone out and collected the Mon on Shabbos, they would have been over a Malacha. Which malacha would they have been over? So I think the simple answer is, if you ask a man on the street, what malacha would the Yidden have been over? Itzah. They would have been carried. If that's the case, there's no Isra Itzah on Yontif. So if there's no Isra Itzah on Yontif, then the muscharishin should be that the man should have fell on Yontif. What's the problem? Now, the truth is, not so simple that there's no Isra Itzah on Yontif, right? We oversimplify it. Mitoich, machlekes, bisham, and bisil. But at the end of the day, l'tzorich, haichal nefesh, sure, there's no Isra Itzah. So obviously, there'll be no Isra Itzah on Yontif, l'tzorich, haichal nefesh. So based on that, it wouldn't be a problem. So, okay, why then is there a tzad that the Mon didn't fall on Yontif? So tzarech be, you'd have to understand the medrash that says that the Mon didn't fall on Yontif. But I'm going to tell you something very, very interesting. There's another pshat in the Rishonim. What the malach of collecting the Mon on Shabbos would have been. It's in the Sefurna. It's right here in Parshas Bishalach. The Sefurna says like this, that on Shabbos, the Mon didn't fall. Why? I'm just reading an excerpt of the Sefurna. V'zeh hoya chil Shabbos b'li safik, im hoya malakten hadavar, mi makim gidulay. Because if the Yidden would have collected the Mon on Shabbos, they would have been mechalal Shabbos, because they would have been milaket adavar, mi makim gidulay. They would have been over the malach of koitzer. Ka'omram zal, it's a Gemara in Shabbos, taf kuv zayin amadveiz, hayman da'okar kishusa mehizmi vehigi, Chayim Mishum Toilish. They were Chayim Mishum Toilish. Says this 40, you want to know why there was nothing to what I saw. The problem was Toilish. That would have been the issue. In fact, at first glance, it's very Tarchmir. Because what's Toilish? Toilish is your Oikir Davar Migidula. You rip something out of the ground. The Mon didn't grow from the ground. It fell from Shemayim. It's manna from heaven. It fell on the ground and they picked it up. So you have to know, in Lumdis, in the Malacha of Kaitzer and Toilish, why this would be considered toilish. So that's for Masechta Shabbos. But for now, this is a fact. It's a Sefurna. The Sefurna says that the Malacha wasn't Aitzah, but rather the Malacha was toilish. I saw in the Kli Chemda, in Parshas Bishalach, so the Kli Chemda, of course, was Rameir Dun Plotsky. He was a Polish guy in the Talmud of the Avnei Nezer. He lived before World War II, he passed away in the year 1928. I believe he's actually seen in the famous Chafetz Chaim video. So the video of the Chafetz Chaim walking to the Knesset Gedolim, you can see different Gedolim. So one of the Gedolim that's in the video is the Kli Chemda, Rav Meir Dun Plotsky. But either way, Rav Meir Dun Plotsky here in Parshas Bishalach has 10 pages on this Sefurna. And he asks that he doesn't understand, like the Sefurna, that the Malacha was what? Toilish. It was Kaitzer. So what's Pshat in the Medrash that says that the man fell on Yontif? So he said, Toysis brings Medrashis Chalukim. There's Medrashim that hold yeah, and there's Medrashim that hold not. Frank Remeir Don Plotsky, I don't understand. Bishloim if the Malacha say Tsa, say here to Tsadim. I hear the Tsad that the man fell on Yontif. There's no Hait Tsad. It's not Rechel Nefesh on Yontif. I can hear the Tsad not.
I don't know.
Maybe not for some reason. It's a Chumra, whatever. But if it's Toilish, Toilish is Asar on Yontif. And by the way, even with Tzorich Eichel Nefesh, it's Asar on Yontif. Because the Gemara says, Mishas Lisha Ve'elach, you're allowed to do it. You can't just do any Malacha. It's Mishas Licha Ve'elach that you're allowed to. So, right, you can't work the field. So, Toilish is not okay. So, if that's the case, Freik the Klichemda, he said, what's Pashub Shad in the Sefurna? So, he has a whole Arichas over here, but he says one Charifus. He says like this. He says, there's a Yerushalmi in the third Perech, this is a Polish Agayan, in Mesechtus Arla. The Yerushalmi asks the following question. We know that something that's Mechubal Karka is not Mekabel Tono. In order for something to be Mekabel Tumah, it has to be Talish. But if it's Mechubal Karka, it's not Mekabel Tumah. Says the Yerushalmi, Levi Sha'al. Levi asked the following question. Maushet Tetame Tumas Oichlen. What was he referring to? He was referring to peyrois that were cooked, but they're still Mechubar, right? So we're talking about Shlokos in Yonah D'Yayma. Tu B'Shvah. So we're talking a little in Yonah D'Yayma. So what happens if you cook a peyri that's attached to a tree? Is it mekabel tumah or is it not mekabel tumah? In other words, Levi heard it said that even though when something is mechuber to a tree, which is mechuber to the ground, it doesn't have the ability to be mekabel tumah. But maybe when you cook it, even though it's still attached, maybe the halacha is going to be different. So the Gemara says Levi was pushing it. Levi said shulka, shlokos. Oh, you cooked it? Kimichuteches it. It's as if it was caught. And the Gemara says milsa de Shmuel. Shmuel said the same thing. That if you would cook a peri that's attached to the ground, it's kimechuteches. We look at it as if it's talish. Said Rameir Domplatsky, if that's the case, I have an etza. Because, you know, the pasuk says that Hashem told the Yidden, Moshe told the Yidden, tomorrow is Shabbos. And because tomorrow is Shabbos, you have to make sure whatever you cook and whatever you bake, you do today. It's Asha Toifu Eifu. Why? Because tomorrow is Shabbos. Shabbos, you're not allowed to cook. Now, the truth is, the Chida asks a famous kasha. You're not allowed to cook the man. Who cooked the man? The Gemara says, Ma'ilam lo yarda likdeira. Everything was b'machshava. So if everything was b'machshava, what was the problem anyways? You can't have a machshava? So at first glance, it's a very big kasha. And the Chida says, yeah. You see from here that even though it was done b'machshava, still it would have been a problem. Now, really, if you think about it, it's even a bigger chiddush. Why? Because if someone had a machshava on the man, that it should taste cooked. It became cooked. It physically became cooked, right? This is not really the time to talk about this. Did it physically become cooked? No, it didn't physically become cooked. It only tasted cooked. So what's the problem? I'm not going to make it taste cooked on Shabbos? Oh, what? And to make it taste like a prime rib that I was allowed to do on Shabbos? What's the difference? I'm making it taste cooked? I understand it. What's the problem? If it cooked, so you're telling me a chiddush that that this is also called cooking. But it never cooked. What, it cooked? It just tasted cooked, right? So you do it, the Rogach of a guy, and ask the Shiloh, if somebody ate the mud, right? The mud tasted like whatever you wanted it to taste like. So what happens if somebody was eating the mud and he had in mind that it should taste like basal v'chalav? He had in mind it should taste like a non-kosher food. And then he ate it. Was he over the issa basal v'chalav? He had in mind it should taste like a cheeseburger. And then he ate it. Was he over the issa basal v'chalav? What's the Shiloh? Did it become the shtick basal v'chalav? Or did it only taste like basal v'chalav? Said the Ragach of the Goyin that if it actually became Basav HaChalav, okay, then maybe we could have a conversation. Maybe it's a problem. But if it only tasted like Basav HaChalav, then what should be the issue? Why? So you'll tell me, maybe you're not allowed to eat something that tastes like Basav HaChalav. We know that's not true. It's a Mefurish Gemara. It's a Gemara Masechtas Chulin. The Gemara says the Chal tastes like Basav HaChalav. Right, the Gemara says, you want to know what Chaza tastes like? Eat this. You want to know what Basav HaChalav tastes like? Eat that. All the things that have an iser taste also has a tzad heter. What does that mean? That means the tam is not intrinsically a problem. It's the food itself that's a problem. So if that's the case, what's the problem with cooking it? So you're telling me a chiddush, this is called cooked. It never cooked. It only tasted cooked. But that's a whole other discussion. But the bottom line is, there was a concept of cooking the mud. How did you cook the mud? You cooked the machshava. On Shabbos, they couldn't cook it. But said the klichemda, what about on Yontif? A yontif avad, they were able to cook it. Because a yontif, you're allowed to cook. If that's the case, there would be an eitzah. How you can collect the man on yontif? What do? First, you cooked it. You're allowed to cook it. Once it's cooked, it's kemechutechesi. It has a din of tolish. Just like the Yerushalmi says in the third paragraph of Masechtas Arlo, that it's considered kemechuber, that there's no tumas oichlin, that now it's subject to the laws of tumas oichlin. So to it be ketolish, that it wouldn't be a problem. Being oichudav amikidula. So he says, you want to know how it's possible, like the safurna, that's the eitzah. The eitzah is, you cook it first, b'machshava, once you cook it, you can cut it. As a result, there'll be no problem of toilish, a classic polish of pilpul, the klichemdem parshas b'shalach.